From the School of Communication at Loyola University Chicago, this is Q&A with Jill Geisler.
Hello and welcome back. Here's today's question. How can I help my team build critical thinking skills? You know, I get asked that question a good bit, but it often arises in the form of a complaint from managers, and it sounds something like, why can't my people just use some critical thinking? To get a good answer to that question, let's first get clear on exactly what's meant by critical thinking skills. I fear that some managers are just referring to plain old common sense, or worse, they think it means think like I do or read my mind. That's not what we're talking about. Here's a good take on critical thinking. It comes from Professor Norman Hare of California State University, Northridge. He's a professor of science and computer education. Quote, critical thinkers draw conclusions only after they've defined their terms, distinguished fact from opinion, asked relevant questions, made detailed observation, and uncovered assumptions. Critical thinkers make assertions based on solid evidence and sound logic. Again, that comes from Professor Norman Hare. So, what does critical thinking look like in the workplace? You know, I've written about this previously. It was a column for Poynter.org. I listed some questions, and I can adapt some of them for you here. Critical thinkers ask themselves, what assumptions am I making about issues or individuals, and why do I make them? Are there other plausible explanations for what happened or for what's going on right now? Do I work as hard to disprove my thesis or hypothesis as I do to prove it? Am I assuming that correlation is causation? Do I have the expertise to form this conclusion, and do I need to learn more? Am I oversimplifying or overgeneralizing in this case? Am I falling prey to ad hominem arguments? You know, that's personal attacks against the other person instead of what the person is saying. What about false dichotomies? That's the mistaken belief that a situation is an either-or. It's something like, well, do we do this or do we risk our reputation? Well, you've given me two options, but it doesn't mean that those two are the only ones, or that one will cause the other. And here's a question. Just because we've always done it this way, shouldn't we look at other options? And finally, are we guilty of confirmation bias? Confirmation bias is really dangerous. It involves going only to sources that agree with the opinion you already hold. Now, after all of those questions, you might say, well, how can I make a decision if I have to wade through all of those things? Won't it stop me? Actually, I understand that fear. It's called paralysis by analysis. But this is the cool part about critical thinking. When you as a leader promote it, reward it, and most of all model it, you begin to bake it into your culture. Think about that. If you demonstrate critical thinking skills in a meeting, in your conversation with people, they're going to see it as an act of leadership. People will begin to apply it routinely. And when they do, it can help resolve conflicts. It can help improve decision-making. But there's a little warning for you in all of this as a leader. Critical thinking, when people get really good at it, could also lead your team to ask smarter and tougher questions of you, the boss. They may challenge you more often, and when they do, your response will determine whether critical thinking is really promoted, rewarded, and modeled in your organization. So what do you think of that? I'm Jill Geisler for Loyola University Chicago. Thanks for tuning in.